I'm going to call the City of Franklin's Plan Commission to order. Mr. Fuchs, you please take the roll.
Commissioner Knippel?
Here.
Commissioner Ritter?
Here.
Commissioner Haley?
Here.
Mayor Taylor?
Here.
Commissioner Bennett?
Here.
Alderman Schmidt?
Present.
Commissioner Fowler?
Here.
Please rise during the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Well, it's getting a little bit warmer out there, not too much, but hopefully we can get everybody out before it gets in the minus degrees. You have before you the regular meeting minutes of Thursday, December 5th, 2013. Is there questions, comments, additions, deletions?
Move approval.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries.
Abstain.
Four ayes, no noes, two abstentions, ayes have it, motion carries. Item three, public hearings. Item A, Storage Master LLC, self-storage facility development. Mr. Deedle?
I'll give a brief introduction, and then Nick could read the public hearing notice. There actually are two public hearings this evening, one for the Unified Development Ordinance text amendment, which is to allow a self-storage mini warehousing type use to be a special use within the B5 zoning district. So that's a UDO text amendment, and there's a public hearing for that. And then related, there's a public hearing to allow this specific proposal as a special use on the specific property. Again, this is a proposal to redevelop the former Hugo's restaurant property on Highway 100. That property has been vacant for a couple of years. The owner of this company would like to remove that building, redevelop the site, build a new self-storage mini warehouse facility, three buildings, one large one, two small ones to the north. They will maintain the current connections to Loomis Road. There is a note in the staff report that the long-range plans for Highway 100 that the DOT has, the frontage road that extends south of this property, past the hotel or motel to the south end of that property, that frontage road would be closed with a cul-de-sac. The reason I mentioned that is because the end of that frontage road does line up with a curb cut across Highway 100 that would allow traffic to go north without doing a without doing a U-turn. Sort of. They will close that frontage road, and then they will have to go down Highway 100, do a U-turn, and go north. The other major changes on this property, if they would build this project, there are woods on the property that have been identified as mature woods protected under city ordinance. City ordinance does allow up to 30% of mature woods to be removed, and they are requesting 29% or so to be removed. They would be proposing the ordinance required amount of landscaping and lighting. We go into more detail on those issues during the Plans Commission discussion. The only other thing I can mention is this item also was reviewed by the Ford Franklin Economic Development Commission, and they unanimously recommended approval of this project. There was some discussion or a suggestion that possibly less parking be provided, but otherwise they recommended approval. Whether this whatever the recommendation is, this project would proceed to the Common Council. Common Council would have the final say on approval of this project.
Okay. This project did go in front of the Common Council for a concept review,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And what was the recommendation of the Common Council?
Generally supportive.
Okay. I, too, have something that the chairman of the Ford Franklin Committee wanted me to bring in front of all of you tonight, and that, again, was there was a motion made by Holwick and seconded by Edmonds to recommend approval of the Storage Master request to the Plan Commission and to the Common Council, and the vote was unanimously passed by all the members present at the Ford Franklin Committee. So with that, I think the city attorney called me today, and I gave him the day off. He's a little bit under the weather today, and hopefully we do have the two public hearings. Hopefully it doesn't get too complex that I'm going to have to call him, but I think I, just for the sake of clarity, I was going to ask about combining it two public hearings, but I think we'll just do one public hearing and we'll do the next. We don't have that much on the agenda, just so it's very clear. So do you have a public notice?
Yes.
Okay.
Notice is hereby given that the Plan Commission of the City of Franklin will conduct a public hearing on Thursday, January 9th, 2014 at 7 p.m. or as soon thereafter as the matter may be heard in the Common Council Chambers at the Franklin City Hall, 9229 West Loomis Road, Franklin, Wisconsin, 53132, to hear public comment regarding application by Storage Master LLC for a proposed ordinance to amend the Unified Development Ordinance text at Table 15-3.0603, Standard Industrial Classification Title Number 4225, General Warehousing and Storage, to allow for such use as a special use in the B5 Highway Business District.
All right. And is the applicant here tonight?
Yes.
And do they have a presentation before we open it up? Do you want to come forward and do you want to introduce the applicant?
Mike Simic?
Alex
Simic. And the consultant?
John Murphy with Architectural Associates.
And they have a PowerPoint presentation, and they're also, the materials are in the packet of the Plan Commissioners as well.
Okay. Mr. Simic, welcome again. I think I've seen you quite a few times in the last few years. But welcome again.
Thank you very much. I'd like to just take a few moments to talk about, one, who Storage Master is and what we plan on, what we're proposing to do to the property. First and foremost, I would say I've been looking at Franklin for more than 5 years. I've looked at more than 50 different properties. It's a desirable place to do business. However, up until this point, I haven't found a property that was either zoned correctly, large enough, or absent of environmental, wetland, and other unresolved issues to allow me to even come forward. So I've looked at trying to introduce the new storage facility to the community for years, and I think even...
Yeah, I was going to say, it must be 6 years ago that I took a tour of your facility, and you were looking at places like the business park and things like that.
So I come saying this, I think, is the most desirable place for the proposal. What Storage Master is proposing is to build a 521-unit state-of-the-art self-storage facility. All storage would be indoors, no outdoor storage would be allowed. We believe that this project will provide the highest and best use of the site that will provide the following benefits. First, it will nearly triple the annual tax revenue because of the value of the project from its current state. Second, it'll help the city of Franklin move towards its goal of achieving its desired 70-30 residential to business ratio goal, and really that'll help relieve tax pressure on the residents. Third, Franklin has grown dramatically over the last 10 to 12 years, yet there hasn't been any self-storage facility that's been built in that time period. So I think as a community, to be able to be full service, to really meet the needs of the residents and businesses, I think there's a great shortage in Franklin. When you look at self-storage, approximately 80% are residential users, 20% are business users, so it'd be predominantly residents in the area. Right now, a lot of residents have to travel 5 to 7 miles or more and find storage, which is among the highest in the state on Highway 100, further north, a couple of public storage facilities. I think it's a shame that they have to drive that far and pay so much. And finally, Storage Master wants to introduce climate-controlled storage. Basically, storage where the internal temperature is between 50 and 70 degrees year-round, irrespective of the external environment. I've looked at more than 50 sites. To date, we've had more than 20 meetings with various departments within Franklin. I've personally spent more than $50,000 on architectural, civil engineering, and other fees to try to make sure that the proposal would meet all the city codes and ordinances and also be aesthetically attractive. Who is self-storage, or Storage Master? It's the leading self-storage company in Wisconsin. I'm the sole shareholder. We try to offer exceptional perceived value so that customers get better, safer, dry storage at a better price. Second, we offer tremendous customer service. You actually get somebody who answers the phone on the second rate. We're as big as a Fortune 500 company in terms of professionalism and our background IT, yet we have very soft touch and personal service with our tenants. And we have a fun and rewarding work environment. When you think of retail, you get up to 25 to 30% turnover in people per year. My average manager stays with them at least 3 to 5 years, and some much longer. So we're doing something to make the customer interaction, and we're being a responsible employer to be able to have people stay around for that long. Our goal is to add a new facility every 2 to 3 years. Currently, Storage Master has 4 locations on 25 acres of land. It has 450,000 square feet of space and about 2,400 units that range anywhere from a closet of 5x5 space to a 12x45 space, or 12x40 space that would actually house a bus. Our headquarters is in New Berlin. I'm the sole shareholder and principal mortgage and property taxpayer for the company. How do customers perceive Storage Master? First, we offer them a free truck. It's $100 to $125 value just for being a tenant of ours. All tenants have to do is replace the gas that they use. Second, we guarantee the lowest prices. How do we do this? We tend to build bigger facilities. We lower our average fixed cost and pass a lot of that savings on to customers. Third, we build our units a bit taller than the industry average, so we give people more space. As a result, sometimes they can rent a smaller unit and save money. A lot of people can rent a 5x10 or an 8x10 unit with us, where with other storage facilities, they have to rent a 10x10 unit, which would cost more. It's unbeatable value. Nobody else needs us. When you think of self-storage, you probably think of long, skinny metal buildings or sheds. Our concept is completely different. Here are two facilities, the closest to Franklin. They both happen to be located in New Berlin. And as you can see, they have a brick or masonry veneer. It's very retail looking, and the units are internal. So you don't see trucks, RVs, cars, anything parked in the facility. The top facility is actually the largest facility in the state, 200,000 square feet and over 1,100 units. The facility beneath it is also New Berlin. I just opened that in December this year. And what I'm proposing is a building that would look very similar to that.
Yeah, just on that, when I don't know, if it's got to be 6 years ago or something when you invited me out. I was on Moreland Road, and I drove by it twice because I was looking for a storage facility. And I went by it because I thought it was a corporate center.
It's safe, dry, and we have fourth-generation security. As you can see in the lower picture on the right-hand side, you can see a wrought iron gate that occurs around the perimeter of the facility. In order to get access to the facility, you need to get a unique code. So you will punch the code in, a four-digit code, like you would an ATM machine. As long as you're paid up, the gate opens or the door opens, and you can access your space. There are 40, 50 cameras at each of my sites. There's lighting, but the lighting is always facing down and around the perimeter, so it doesn't create a glare for anyone else in the area. And it's all LED, cost-effective, and energy-efficient lighting. This is a picture of an aerial of the site that I'm proposing to redevelop. Essentially, in terms of the development, this blacktop and pervious surface will largely stay in place. These trees back here will stay in place. What I'm proposing to do is remove some trees here to have two small outbuildings. But really, the footprint of the property won't change that much in terms of the impervious space, but what I do is raise the 4,000 square foot building I know that Franklin's done studies in the past that have suggested that restaurants are the best and highest use for the property. I think over the last 10 to 15 years, there have been several restaurants that have tried to make a go and have failed and all closed. I personally believe the reason for that is that Franklin has a lot of residents in the evening. During the daytime, a lot of them go and work elsewhere. As a result, there's not a strong enough lunch trade to support a restaurant. And I grew up in a restaurant. And if you only get 50% of your revenue, it's tough to make the business work. So I think a lot of people have great intentions, probably work very hard. But I think anybody who tries to put a restaurant in this property is going to struggle. This is what I'm proposing in terms of the site plan after the development. As you can see, there's an extensive amount of landscaping surrounding the area. This compares to what's currently there. So I think aesthetically, it's going to look a lot prettier and better from the road. It's very clean. It's very simple. There will be two gates. The entrance will be here. The exit will be here. And essentially, as you come in, there'll be an office. If you want to pay your bill, then you can leave. If you want to access your unit, you can drive down the top drive aisle. These are 30 feet wide. Traditional self-storage facilities have 20-foot wide drive aisles. I want to make it easy for people to get. The other thing is, fire department wants to be able to make sure they can get through with 30 feet. That's more than two lanes that they normally get. So it'll be easy to navigate. The building will have two levels. The top level will be accessed from the north, the bottom level from the south. There's a loading dock in the rear of the facility, which will be used by tenants to be able to move their items into their units. On the south, they can move in down here. And the whole idea with Storage Master is we offer free truck rental, but also when you come to move your items into storage, rather than opening a couple of doors, being exposed to the elements, whether it's raining, snowing, hailing, everything is indoors. So you pull the truck completely inside the loading dock, you close it, you unload your items, and it doesn't matter what's happening outside, and you stay safe, dry, and secure. We're suggesting an extensive amount of landscaping here to help shield the building, but also make it more aesthetically attractive. What we're proposing is a masonry front throughout the portion of the buildings that are visible, I think from Highway 100. We're suggesting or proposing that we put this brick-like material, and I have some examples here. It's masonry, it's fireproof, it's very attractive, and I can show you some slides. This is used in buildings that cost upwards of $40 to $50 million. From an external, you can't tell how thick it is, whether it's real brick and real stone or a masonry product. However, this goes up a bit faster and it's less expensive. I know that the planning department's recommending that real brick be used, but I can tell you is most of the, I think, retail establishments in Franklin actually use this thin brick sort of material. I'm also suggesting that we use this material back to the front loading dock, because I think after 300 feet from Highway 100, probably not going to be able to see the back, especially with the tree line. We have designed parking to meet the city ordinance, and I think we have three spaces even in excess. I can tell you that at my Moreland Road facility, I have more than twice as many customers, and I have 37 parking spaces in total, and they've never been completely full. The nature of self-storage is that people move their items into storage. They come back 9 to 12 months later to move their items out. And in between, they pay me rent, but there's a little trap. On an average day, we expect that you usually get 4 to 5 tenants for every 100 in the facility. With about 500 units here, we've expected between 20 and 25 customers during a 12-hour day. And you only get access from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. During the day, so there's no late nights. It's very quiet. It's probably the quietest business they could be put into, and I think this development, especially when you consider that the residents in the back immediately north and across the street over here. So I think in terms of being quiet and a good neighbor, I don't think you could ask for a better project.
What are you looking for with your hours of operation?
The office would be manned Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and an hour earlier, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturdays. Sundays were closed, but residents could access the facilities from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. every day of the year.
So the latest would be 7 p.m.?
That is correct.
Because in the past, the reason I'm asking is we had, I think it was the volleyball court going in there, and then Jacob's Pub. There was a lot of concern from the neighbors about music, loud music coming from there. In fact, I think we may have had a complaint about that regarding the restaurant. My recollection is the people in the general area were very, very concerned about noise and people carousing at late at night over there. So.
We would be closed at 7. We even propose removing the lighting in the back over the volleyball court. We don't need it. And there would just be lights on the building, and there are motion sensors, so as you approach them, they get brighter. Otherwise, they're very dim, and they're based on the darkness. So as it gets darker, they start to come on during the day.
And you're going to take down the current buildings?
Exactly. We're going to raise the buildings. This is actually a pretty difficult property to develop. If you look at the topography, it looks like a saddle. It's flat, it dips, and then it's flat again in the back. So it's difficult to build anything, especially retail, in there. But with self-storage and what I've been able to come up with the help of architects is a project that fits this piece of land. This is what the facility would look like if you're on Highway 100 or Lovers Lane heading north. As you can see, this is very much a retail-looking building. There would be a gate here and also a gate here. There's going to be a lot of trees, so you're not going to get this clear of a view, but we wanted to give you a better impression of what it would look like if there weren't any trees.
Are there going to be white doors on that? Or?
Yes.
More of a cream color. Off-white.
Just sort of sticks out.
Well,
we could put green doors or different color doors. White tends to be neutralized.
Aren't you having landscaping in front of that?
Oh, absolutely. Well? Oh.
And actually, the rendering doesn't show the wrought iron gate that's going to block a lot of that view as well. Similar situations on Moreland Road, and you don't see the doors there either.
This is what the facility would look like if you're on Lovers Lane heading south. You can see the two smaller outbuildings on the right and the bigger building on the left. This is what the project would look like from a westerly view.
If all the trees were cut down.
If all the trees were cut down, because there's a pretty thick, dense line in the back.
Yeah, I've walked that.
You won't see the building.
We'll still have garage doors, but most of our garage doors are inside. So rather than having a 20-foot drive aisle in between, we'll have 5 feet, and that's sufficient. Most houses have 3 to 4 foot wide doors. When you can get into a house, you can easily get down one of these aisles. And we'll have security, we'll have cameras. These are actual pictures of some of the hallways in my facilities. This is what the proposed office would look like. When somebody walks into a storage master, I want them to know right off the get-go that they're going to have a different experience. It's going to look nice. It's going to be friendly, courteous. You can see the cameras in the background. It's open, spacious. And the other thing, when you look at something like this, you tend to think, gosh, it's going to be more expensive. We match price. We will guarantee the lowest price for it. So people don't pay for it, but they'll have a different kind of experience. And I think if you would do a roll call of all the self-storage operators in Franklin right now, they'll tell you that they're all full. We keep getting people from Franklin because they can't accommodate the need. So I'm not trying to steal business from the existing operators. I'm just trying to meet the overall need. This is a moving truck. If you're a tenant of Storage Master, you get a free moving truck to move in. You get to replace it with the gas. This actually turns in a smaller radius than a Porsche Boxster. We warn tenants not to go through drive-thrus. We had somebody go through an old McDonald's and it gets to the top. But after months, we get taken care of. But we would propose putting three of these trucks on site, available for the use.
Where would they be stored?
Let's go back to the site plan. The idea, after hours, we want them secure, so we would park them on the western in some of these parking spaces. Back. I also own a portable storage company called Self Storage on Wheels. Concept is pods on wheels, but at half the price. They're contractor trailers. Usually, when they're rented, they stay in somebody's driveway, farm, wherever the place of residence or business is. Occasionally, we bring them back to the facility for a couple of days a week until we re-rent them. We propose being able to park occasionally some of these in the very back on the western side temporarily until they go out again.
How many of those units would you have?
5, 10, somewhere in that range. But usually they're in the driveway. So how many are at the facility? Depends on the month, but I would guess a couple. What we're proposing to use is Michiha. It's a masonry type material, but it's better known in the industry as thin brick.
Lasers of that?
Oh, thank you very much. here are some examples of actually the colors that we're proposing.
Red triangle.
This is a Culver's, and actually the Culver's, I believe, in Franklin uses this kind of material, and Culver's use this a lot in Wisconsin. Use it at Fuddruckers, Puma, Dollar General, Sonic, KFC, 7-Eleven, Wendy's. Michiha is used throughout the U.S., predominantly in retail applications. But it's also used for schools, fire departments, hospitals, apartment buildings, office buildings, and even corporate centers and inside retail. So it's a product that's well-known, well-established, and it has a 25-year life guarantee. So it's not something that's going to crumble, but it's actually easier to fix because you could take a component off and replace it. But from the outside, you don't know whether it's real brick or not. That's the extent of the comments that I was planning on making this evening.
I guess I do have one more question for you. That's that I asked you to see if you could get me information from the Berlin Police Department as to number of complaints regarding your facilities out there, a number of times the police department in New Berlin has had to come to your facility.
I think I've provided, or there was an actually email exchange from right. The chief of police who said that we tend to use less than the average amount of resources. I think in the letter he also mentioned that the owner must take pride in the facility because they always look good. We maintain everything because of our security is a big deterrent. But the fire department comes out for their annual check, but that's pretty much it. But Storage Master is also very civic-minded. 10% of its profits are donated to charity, predominantly Christian charities. The other thing is we partner with police departments for Toys for Tots. We offer free units to boys. Boy Scouts, we offer free units to baseball, volleyball. So we try to do our part in terms of being a good corporate citizen in the community.
Any other complaints? I mean, we have the planning department here gets complaints regarding ordinance violations, things like that in Berlin.
The only thing we've ever been cited for is thistles. In my Moreland Road property, We've been there for 10. Apparently, there were some thistles growing in the water retention pond. We've removed them at a cost of $350 within 24 hours. We didn't know they were there. But all of our facilities are maintained. We don't try to push the boat, rock the boat. We just want to be able to operate and run our business.
Yeah, I was just thinking of the Fox's storage facility that's on Rawson Avenue, and prior to Alderman Schmidt being the alderman, Alderman Solms, I was the alderman for the district. I don't recall any complaints at all about the Foxes. If anything, I think they got rave reviews from all the neighbors. And then Kendall Brewing, his facility is over on Highway 100. I don't recall. I'm looking at Alderman Skronsky because I don't recall any
never
complaints.
Had complaint.
Okay.
It's a very quiet district. As long as you maintain it, the city should need to nail this later, except it's providing the needed service.
Well, I wanted to thank you before we turn it over and get public comment for your persistence and in trying to build in Franklin. Obviously, the reason we have a plan commission is to see what's the highest and best use for that property. But the number one goal, which is contained in your presentation for the city, is to attain the 70-30 ratio. And that has been drummed into every board and commission of the city. I guess the other thing is that some years ago, we used to have the concept review for these projects would come into the plan commission. And that was changed, and it went to the Common Council. And the reason for that was we wanted to become a more business-friendly city, and we did not want to waste the time of businesses and get a bad name for, you said you've already spent about $50,000 on this. And so the policy decisions for these types of matters basically rest with the Common Council. But I do want to thank you for your persistence.
Thank you very much.
And I toured the facility in your area, and the only word that comes to mind regarding your facility out there is quality. It just reeks of quality.
I'd just like to add, now how many years have you been in this form of business? Obviously, you've had a lot of experience to try to hone everything into a more modern, to meet all the expectations.
I've been running storage. I started Storage Master as a concept 15 years ago. I've grown it by doing bigger facilities or continuing to add existing facilities. My first one was a group of skinny buildings, but they weren't made of steel, and even the roofs were different. The old steel buildings will leak. I've learned over time how to get a better appearance, more density, how to interact with customers. One of the things we used to do is we'd call people if they were late. We've got it down to a program now, and if somebody falls on hard times, we will actually tell them to pay us $5 a week. We'll stop the late payments. We'll sign an agreement that within a year they get caught up. So we'll try to work with them to get back on their feet. And then those tenants tend to stay. They prefer other customers. And I get to tell you, banks won't even do that. Our bad debt is less than 0.1% because of it. But we work hard, and we treat everybody with respect, even if they've fallen in hard times. So I think we're getting better. We've perfected it a bit. We're always looking for ways to enhance it, and that will never stop. But I'm the sole shareholder. I've never sold a piece of commercial property in my life. My eldest child, who's 10, and then I've got 9 and 4, someday may decide what they want to do with Storage Master. But until then, I plan on owning it and running it. So whenever there's a maintenance issue and things happen on properties, we get it fixed right away. We get bids, we get it fixed, they're maintained. I would expect if we're allowed to build this 10 years from now, you drive by, and it'll look like it did day one.
Well, thank you. Is there anything else that you'd like to provide to the applicant, or any questions? Yeah.
I think you failed to mention that it's a fully sprinkled building, which is a good thing that I'd like to see in a lot more buildings.
all of my buildings are sprinklered. Part of it is for the protection of the goods, but also when you start thinking about buildings this size, they're required by law anyway.
But it's a good deal.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, if there's nothing else, then I'm going to open this up for public hearing, at least item A1, and Mr. Fuchs did read it into the record. So is there any parties wishing to speak during the public hearing? Yes, sir. And if you could please state your name and address for the record, we'd appreciate it.
Kirk Milligan, 7012 South Fieldstone Court, Whitnall Grove. After seeing what is displayed here tonight, it is a great improvement for people that live in that condo development right adjacent to the back lot. Rather than having a barn volleyball court, it's a great improvement. And the only thing that we are concerned about is that the water going into that woods is unbelievable. We had a flood 3 years ago. I was one that cost $20,000 to get my basement fixed up again. Now, I don't know if it was the city or if it was the guy that built it, the complex, but somebody did not follow any drainage plans. And everything drained from, this is the high side of that woods, everything drained down into the woods and then over into the complex where we live. So I just want to mention that the water situation better be looked at so that the water goes that way instead of this way.
Was it after the volleyball courts were
Pardon?
Was it after the volleyball courts were constructed, or has this always been is this an ongoing?
No, it was before.
Problem? Okay, because there's been like, what, 7 restaurants there or something, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know when that was originally constructed.
The association has since spent a lot of money putting the drainage just all the way down to the retention ponds, and that does help. We haven't had any like that before, but we do have still water coming up right along the lawns. The whole length, like halfway of the Whitnall Grove, it's in the ditches there, and it lays a lot of ducks floating around in the spring, and there's quite a bit of water in there. And I just want to make people know that something's got to be done about the drainage.
Great.
Otherwise, it looks like a very favorable operation. I don't speak for the whole Whitnall Grove, but myself, I would be for it.
Well, thank you very much, sir. Thanks for coming on a cold night. Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing? Yes, sir. If you could please state your name and address for the record.
My name is Mike Clavette, 6995 South Villas Lane. I'm across Highway 100 in the subdivision. My reason for coming, I just wanted to make sure it wasn't metal garages. I like the way it looks. I use storage facilities, but I have to drive all the way to Racine County for it, so hopefully this might be an option.
Hey, I get rarer opportunities, but I want to thank you for all of your service for the city. Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing? You look familiar. Have you been on billboards or anything?
Do we have a few with more respect?
Ken Skowronski, 8642 South 116th Street. Alderman representing the 6th District, which this is in. I have worked with the owner for a long time in order to look at his properties. I visited his properties. He has a very excellent reputation, very excellent buildings. He puts his money into them. They're well kept, and that's why I am supporting him 100%. I hope you do. It's a good quality project. It fits the needs. It takes away a building that has been tried for several years. As we all know, we're all sitting on that desk up there as you have, and you go by Highway 100, and a lot of empty buildings, and unfortunately, the restaurants just do not make it. And what he's going to put in there is going to be an asset. I have talked to not only people from Whitmore Grove, I've kept them abreast of what's happening. I've talked to the apartments across the street, both complexes. There's 900 residents in one. They desperately need storage for places. The lady that manages it is in awe of having that there. They're 100% support of that. And the other complex, they need the space. And even Mr. Clavette, which I know very well, and he's in favor of it. It is going to be a great asset not only to the neighborhood, but but to the community as a whole. And I hope you look very favorable so he can get started on it, get it going. And I, again, hope to welcome you to the community. Thank you.
Thank you. Congratulations, by the way. Yes, ma'am.
I'm Barb Goronsky. Mike.
Could somebody help her with the microphone?
Oh.
That's okay. We'll, we have an expert there.
Sorry. Barb Goronsky, 6954 South 109th Street. And, of course, my property is just to the northwest of that lot. And so my concern was mainly the tree line. There's the woods there. Some of the woods belong to the city of Franklin, ones to the south of me. But then there's some private ones to the east. And I'm just hoping that enough trees will be left there to block all that. Okay, just want to clarify that.
Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing?
So. Yeah, one other thing. I have talked with the Archdiocese, and they're in favor, and they have no objection to this property being redone and that type of business being done.
Yeah, I've had some discussions, and they're actually, I think, they're welcoming the project because of the Sacred Heart Monastery
Correct.
Complex, lack of storage. Anyone else wishing to speak?
My name is Tom Keane. I'm 7026 South Fieldstone Court in the Whitnall Grove Condo Association. I live two doors away from Kirk Milligan, who spoke a little earlier. I'd like to welcome the storage master business. I think it's going to be a fantastic asset for the community, and the presentation was excellent. I have no questions, 100% behind it. The only consideration is... like Kirk Milligan indicated, was the water. That water flows down. I mean, it can get 2 feet deep in the woods that's green space between our two properties. So it, maybe someday it will come up to our get back in our basements again. We don't know. We can't predict that. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing? Is there anyone else wishing to speak? Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing? If not, I close the public hearing. And I would assume we could take go straight into the next public hearing and read the notice. And then the plan commission, they don't have to take action tonight on either of the items, but if they wish to, they can take action on both items. So, Mr. Fuchs, could you please read the public notice for the second item? Special use.
Notice is hereby given that the Plan Commission of the City of Franklin will conduct a public hearing on Thursday, January 9th, 2014 at 7 p.m. or soon thereafter as the matter may be heard in the Common Council Chambers of the Franklin City Hall, 9229 West Loomis Road, Franklin, Wisconsin, 53132, to hear public comment regarding an application by Storage Master, LLC, for a special use under Standard Industrial Classification Title Number 4225, General Warehousing Storage, to allow for a self-storage facility use upon property zone B5 Highway Business District, located 6951 South Lovers Lane Road.
All right. We've heard from the applicant. Is there anything that you would like to add, Mr. Deedle, before we begin?
Only that this public hearing is for the special use. If there were any questions or concerns about more detailed aspects of the project, this would be the best time to bring them up. The prior public hearing would have been the bigger picture issues. But in either case, all these public hearing comments will be forwarded to the Common Council for their consideration as well.
I have a question. The current property, as it sits there, if a firm like Mulligan's wanted to come in, would they have to come in and get special approval, or would they fit the bill?
Our guess is all restaurants are a special use on that one. We're not positive, but that would be our guess.
So they'd have to get Common Council approval, but
yep. So I guess similar like this public hearing.
There was a, or there is a facility on Highway 36 and Highway 100. It was called Illusions at one time. Would that be something that would fit in the current zoning?
As a special use, possibly.
I'm not positive. How about a Dave and Buster's?
Possibly as well.
Where I'm going with all of this is that while everyone would like to see a Bartolotta's go into that site, there is a good chance that you could have Dave and Buster's or things that are not so desirable going into that facility. Okay. All right. I'm going to open this up for a public hearing. That's item A2. And you did read the public hearing, right?
Yes.
Public notice. Is there anyone wishing to speak on regarding item A2 for the public hearings on the self-storage facility? Is there anyone wishing to speak in the public hearing regarding item A2, 3A2, regarding special use?
Am I allowed to make one comment?
Yeah, let me just first see if there's the public, because you're the applicant. You can still speak after this. Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing regarding item 3A2, special use public hearing for Storage Master? Yes, sir. If you could please state your name and address for the record.
Ken Skoroski, Alderman of the 6th District, 8642 South 116. I'm in favor of the proposal as it stands.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing? Seeing no one, I'm going to close the public hearing and turn it over to Mr. Deedle. I think I said my piece. The Ford Franklin Committee unanimously is recommending approval to both the Plan Commission and to the Common Council. My recollection of the concept review that came in front of the Common Council was it was very, very pro this business. As the mayor of the city, at least for the next few months, we have really been trying, even though some of you may have got some outrageous tax bills of late, we have really been trying to get a handle on getting more commercial property in here to help offset the property tax bills for the private owners. And the only way we can do that is to get the 70-30 goal. Now, we've got some favorable numbers recently, but it may also have to do with the revaluations of commercial and residential properties. But I think we started off, and Mr. Ritter, please tell me if I'm wrong, but I think we started off at about 16% commercial, 84% residential.
Even that might be a little bit optimistic, but that's several years ago. We have made some progress over the years.
I saw an old Alderman Olson flyer where the spent $158,000 for the Tickner report. And that was the figures that I saw in there. Anyhow, since that time, the city has now got to a point where we're at about 24 point something in commercial properties. I was on the panel with Tom Tickner and the Ford Franklin Commission. And I can remember Tom Tickner saying that the city would be very, very fortunate if it could get to 25% commercial. So the city is trying to do what we can in the Franklin school districts, actually citywide, to alleviate some of the burden from the private property owners. This proposal that you have in front of you tonight, my understanding is the city or the city would receive about three times the amount in tax revenue that it has received from the current property. Am I correct?
That's what the applicant has said, and I don't know the exact numbers, but the idea is correct.
So it would get us closer to our goal. You may have read some recent articles about the city having gone into closed session and some of their meetings looking at potential strategies, discussions about potential future business parks, et cetera, et cetera. This group here spent a couple years, really, in going through the task force report and coming up with a comprehensive master plan and trying to determine how we would get to the 30% goal. And I believe in those discussions, it was said that about the only way that you're going to be able to reach that 30% is to construct new business parks, business park and or business parks. So those types of items are always extremely controversial, just like our current business park is. When you first propose those as a community, everyone is raising their arms in protest. When you come in with and close out the business park and you defease the bonds and you're returning $4 or $5 million back to the tax rolls, which is helping to keep down the taxes, then everybody is absolutely in favor of it. Our current business park, with the expansion of Baptista's into the Harley-Davidson building, we only have about 15 acres that has not been sold, and those are broken up into like 7 acres and 3 acres and 3 acres. So for all intents and purposes, we've filled up the area for large businesses. And again, I'll be leaving here in April, but I'm still going to be a resident here, and my taxes went up as well as some of yours. I think we have to continue on the road towards the 70-30 goal. I think we need to stick to that, and I think this proposal will get us there. Alderman Schmidt?
Well, having been a lifetime resident out here, and having seen that particular piece of property for many, many years, and driving down Highway 100, it always seemed to me to be a particular, not a really good location for a restaurant, because it is so isolated there. There is not a lot of commercial development around there other than a motel. And this would seem to me to be a more appropriate permanent type facility to fit that location. And I think it sounds very good to me, provided, you know, we can maybe do something to alleviate some of the drainage problems due to the undulation of the territory there, since it is two levels. But I'm sure that we can adjust that. And if I could, I would make the motion then to recommend.
Well, there's a motion to recommend approval of an ordinance to amend the Unified Development Ordinance text that table Chapter 15-3.0603, Standard Industrial Classification, Title Number 4225, apostrophe, General Warehousing and Storage, apostrophe, to allow for such use as a special use in the B5 Highway Business District. Is that the motion?
Yes. That's the motion I would make.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right. Under discussion, Mr. Bennett.
Yes. Engineering has kind of three areas that haven't been resolved, and one is the drainage. We've worked with their engineers, and they have not satisfied us that they are providing.
Jack, could you come a little bit closer to the microphone? I'm getting people can't hear.
Necessary facilities for the drainage. So we're working with them. I guess I don't have a problem if you approve it, subject to the condition that they meet the engineering requirements for drainage. Secondly, they've said they have less than a half acre of impervious surface, but they have not proved that to us. They have to show a map of the existing, so we can actually measure it up and verify that there is less than a half acre of impervious surface. They haven't done that. And number three, they haven't met with the State Department of Transportation. And while they probably will be using the existing access, Department of Transportation requires a review by DOT for all new uses, because they may change the necessary connections. And one of the concerns we have is that with this, it may not be much different than a restaurant, but particularly with the trucks, there's going to be a lot of U-turns, because a lot of people we imagine will come from the north, and they will have to make a U-turn because there won't be any median opening. So, again, I think it's necessary, and I guess I would add the third thing, that the approval is subject to approval by the State Department of Transportation relative to granting them an opening permit.
Is the maker of the motion amenable to alter his motion to incorporate the comments of Mr. Bennett?
Yes, I would.
And second, Mr. Knippel?
I'm agreeable. Yes.
Mr. Ritter, you've got that look.
Just, I don't disagree with the comments. I appreciate them. They just seem to be more relevant to the site plan motion to be yet to be made rather than to the UDO text amendment motion.
So maybe we should reserve that.
I think that would be on the special use.
Yes.
So we'll stick to your original motion, Alderman Schmidt and Mr. Knippel, and we'll reserve. We'll hopefully try and tack that on to the next motion that's made. Mr. Haley. Oh,
if
I'm sorry.
One other comment relative to the zoning. I think it's a fine project. I think it's good. I guess my concern is it may be a little misplaced. This is one of the areas that we have, one of the highest traffic areas in the city. And there are lands to the north and south. And I guess I would kind of concur with planning that this may not be the best location for it. Surely it's a fine facility. But I do question that industrial use and in there. And I remember years ago, when an industrial use came in on 27th Street, and it was a beautiful building, and everything says it's a fantastic building, and now that industrial use is next to Northwestern Mutual, and behind is a construction yard, and that surely is not conducive to Northwestern Mutual. But I guess that's my only concern. That surely it's a fine facility. I compliment the owner. He evidently knows what he's doing and does a good job, but. I still have a problem, and I kind of concur with planning that this is maybe not the best use.
Mr. Haley and then Mr. Ritter.
I guess I'd like to start by saying this is a great proposal. It looks great. It looks like your business plan is sound, and I love your approach to it. It's the sort of thing that I think Franklin can use. That says I cannot support this in either counts. I think, as usual, planning has done a great job of reviewing the plans, working with you, their comments in here. I'm not going to rehash them, but I think they're valid, they're real. I share the concerns, one, with changing the SIC codes for this because it does open a Pandora's box. We're basically, it is really a commercial use. I guess I'll echo what the city engineer has said. There's probably better places for it. It's a great site. I'm sure you love it. Great exposure. But I don't believe that that's the sort of thing that should be at this location in Franklin. But mainly for the reasons that staff has brought up and engineering, I share exactly the same thoughts. You're draining the whole site to one spot, and if there's an obstruction, there's a failure, you're underwater. So there's a lot of issues that haven't been fleshed out. I think continue looking. We'd love to see something like this in Franklin, but this is the gateway to our city. And I don't think, based upon the issue that's in front of us right now, modifying, allowing this in the SIC code, it's not something that we want to do. So, unfortunately, I won't be supporting it.
Yeah, Mr. Ritter?
I share the concerns about the site plan and drainage, and I will discuss those when we get to the special use item on the agenda. With regard to the text amendment, I do appreciate also the work of staff. And I share the concerns about general warehousing and storage, mini warehousing, as it's stated. I think, tend to look at the self-storage more as rental property. I tend to look at it more as not apartments for people, but apartments for people's stuff. But as long as we're making it a special use, it's not a permitted use, that any item that would be proposed for such use would have to come in for approval. I think I'm comfortable with it under that circumstance. So I do appreciate the comments of the commissioners. Have we ever done an instance where we added an SIC code but only part of it? Say, for example, in this case, only the warehousing self-storage and not the general warehousing and storage or the mini warehousing? Have we done that? And would that be a doable thing under we structure the UDO?
Recently, I don't believe so, but there is in the original UDO a more handmade list of uses at the end, and I think it's similar to what you're saying.
Okay. Well, I would, if there's a practical way to do it, I might be supportive of limiting it to even the special use to the self-storage and not opening it up to the general warehousing and storage or mini warehousing and storage. But again, as long as it's a as long as it's a special use, we still have the option of considering each individual proposal as it comes in, and I think that protects the city from just making it a permitted use, and anybody can come in and file, you know, a development application and want to go forward with it. So under that situation, I think I can agree with this.
Okay. Mr. Fowler?
I, too, have some concerns on this, having worked on the master plan and for what we were planning for that location. I do remember the one restaurant that was there that was very successful was the Italian restaurant until they had their health issues. That was a successful restaurant. I understand the residents would have concerns about what type of restaurant or bar. I would not be in support of any bar or moving into that location again. But, again, I, as with Commissioner Haley, I think the staff did a great job of outlining some of the objections to having this as more of an industrial, even though I think the project looks fabulous and my parents live near one in Michigan that's very similar to this. But for my community in Franklin, I would like to see this more of a commercial or a restaurant facility. I cannot support it.
Okay. Anyone else wishing to speak? I will take one more stab at, and that's that I've been up here, I guess, too long now, since 99, off and on, and I do recall, and we are in the midst of potentially changing the entire city, the policymakers. I don't think there's any big secret that a couple of people that are running are extremely pro-development. But where I wanted to go is, it's not that many years ago where, when I was an alderman, the aldermen started thinking that the plan commission was not in sync with what the aldermen, the elected officials, wanted for the city. And then it was also the Community Development Authority that had a great deal of problems. And they thought that they were meddling in the policy making of the city. And so I would throw that out there. I understand and I respect everybody up here, but this is not the elected body of the city. And each alderman, whether you care for them or you don't care for them, they all represent about 5,000 to 6,000 people each, and they carry the votes. And this came in front of the that group, and it got a thumbs up. It went to the Common Council's Ford Franklin Economic Development Commission, and it got a unanimous approval. I think I'm not so much hearing about architecture and buildings and things like that. I'm kind of hearing from some of my colleagues who I have great respect for that what they would like to see. And I think that's the purpose of having the concept review before the Common Council. So I was through the wars here between the Common Council and the Plan Commission and the CDA. Hopefully you don't see a return to that. With that, I do have, we have a motion that's been made, and I believe it's been seconded. And so all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
No.
Mr. Fuchs, please take a roll call.
Commissioner Knipple?
Aye.
Commissioner Ritter?
Aye.
Commissioner Haley?
No.
Commissioner Bennett?
No.
Alderman Schmidt?
Aye.
Commissioner Fowler?
No.
And the mayor breaks the tie with aye. It's four ayes, three noes, ayes have it, motion carries. All right, on the second motion, it's a motion to recommend approval of resolution imposing conditions or restrictions for the approval of a special use for a self-storage facility use upon property located at 6951 South Lovers Lane Road. And with the additional comments that were made by the city engineer and Mr. Ritter, you're giving me that look.
Well, I just, we have a condition, the difficult condition regarding the stormwater management plan. Do we have sufficient conditions in the draft resolution to address engineering's concerns, or do
I guess
we
if
need
you,
to?
I would suggest you just add your to your approval, subject to the approval of a stormwater management.
Oh, that's in there.
Plan.
Do we have a condition on that?
Approval of the state DOT, and satisfaction from the city engineer that, that the drainage has been handled properly.
Staff have that? Okay.
Dave.
If the Department of Transportation rejects or does not accept this, do we have the, I mean, I remember we had this issue with the Myers. If this is going to go through, I mean, I don't want to go down so far and drag these guys down so far and then suddenly have the Myers situation where the DOT
well,
says
I think
no.
We can.
Will we have any ability to appeal, I don't know if this is the proper term, but to discuss with DOT that this is a project that the city has determined they want, will we be have the ability to go to them and say, we want this, why are you not giving it to the, this not just, it's no longer just going to be the proposed project person coming to them, but also be the city asking for it as well.
Mr. Bennett?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to kill the project. I mean, I think maybe the worst thing that they might say is, let's have another meeting opening. But beyond that, or move the existing meeting opening, which I think lines up with Phyllis Lane, so I'm not sure because that's a public street we normally, and whether they can fit another meeting opening in, I have really a question, but it is proper that they have to go through the state before they'll be able to get a street opening permit, even though there's a driveway there. It's always, when a new development comes in, it gets re-reviewed by the state.
Fred.
I heard the applicant say that you expected 20 or 25 people max per day.
That is correct.
And usually that's by a combination of the vehicles that you provide them
and their own
cars. And their
total,
own.
Total, 20 to 25 cars per day.
So it's not a semi-truck opening that they need. It's a smaller vehicle.
Well, they are designing for semis.
Oh, they are.
If I could make a comment.
Right, okay.
Yeah, let me, Mr. Fowler.
I don't remember there being any problems when Hugo's was there, and I remember for a couple of the Packer games when they were in the playoffs, there was a lot of traffic that went to that parking lot. So I don't remember there being issues with traffic, and I just don't remember the direction it came. Did the city get complaints about traffic during those times?
Mr. Ritter.
Could we get the site plan back up again?
And I know there were more than 20, 25 cars coming in a very short span.
Well, and I think the concern also the implications of the redevelopment of Highway 100 in the future that might change where points of access are.
Yeah, we do have a copy of their plan.
My initial comment was concerning this area here and this area here, which is shown on the landscaping plan as having 20 to 60-foot trees, but is also shown as a snow storage areas. And so I was wanting to get some resolution on that, but then with the comments that we've had about drainage and water flow, I'm beginning to question, is this really the best place for having snow storage? So you can address those in any ways you want. And also engineering, would the stormwater management plan take into consideration where the snow storage would be, where the melt runoff would be, that sort of thing? So I guess that's just generally the issue that I'm raising here is how can we stow... Maybe the trees will keep us for a bit. You've got long driveways here. You want to have certainly the access for people to come in and out, which means whether we've kind of had lately, you're going to have to plow snow, move stores somewhere. Can you do it with the trees there? And if not, then where? That kind of stuff. And how can that be addressed in managing the runoff so that we don't have spring flooding in people's basements, that sort of thing?
Sure. A couple comments. I've worked with Nielsen, Massey, and Barber. They're civil engineers that I've worked with for more than a dozen years. Essentially, what's been proposed is that we put new catch basins here, and the water will tie into the city sewer, so it would flow eastward on the property. We've provided the summary to the city engineering department. We met with them once, but only a day ago, 2 days ago. So they've asked for more detail. It's not that we're withholding it. They just asked for more detail and couldn't get it to them. We believe the calculations will show that the water will drain adequately. And actually, because of the way we're setting up the catch basins, there will be less water flowing into Highway 100. I appreciate the water concern by the residents. I'm also concerned for the prospective tenants. I don't want this stuff to get wet. Some of the things we talked about really is what happens here in the slope point. It exists now, whether I would develop the property or anyone would. I think we'll drain the water away. The other
the other thought we're investigating is we put in some sort of sump pump, so if we got a 100-year flood, all you have to do is get it over this hump, and it will flow into the existing tributaries. Also, in the doorway here, these are going to be sealed doors, so water can't go in. The other thing is, I think you need to get 3 to 4 feet of water before we even enter or start to become a problem. But even after that, we're exploring. We're trying to work cooperatively with the city engineering department. It's just they asked for some more detailed calculations, which we'll provide. It's just we haven't had enough time to respond. So it's kind of like we're holding it back. The idea was to put these trees are going to be back about 10 to 20 feet. So I think in front of them, you can put the snow, and it should still melt. And the way that this will be graded is that the water should flow that way as well, not to the west, to enhance the problem that was there in the past. So I think we've tried to be very respectful and cognizant of the fact that water is a big issue, potentially. We try to address it. I hired professionals and paid a lot of money to them. I'm assuming they will, as they have in the past, be able to demonstrate all the calculations and the overlays we talked about, being able to trace the water into the well, and they're pursuing that as we speak. It's been taking about days to finish doing their survey work. So I think in terms of looking at this and saying, well, we should be concerned about the water, I think that's absolutely fine, making it subject to the city engineering department saying, yes, they're comfortable with it. I don't have an issue with it at all. In terms of the Department of Transportation, we've talked with them a couple of times, but until we know we've got a project, I don't want to take up too much of their time. Really, their plans don't impact this area at all. What they're proposing is to put in a road here with a cul-de-sac on the bottom. We could easily live with that, accommodate them. I've had some preliminary discussions. Just to let you know, the Department of Transportation hasn't finalized their plans. They're only about 60% done. My concern about making it subject to the Department of Transportation acceptance is that they don't even know when it's starting to work. That could mean that this doesn't get going for another 4, 5, 6 years. So effectively, you're killing the project because you're making it stipulation because it's subject to DOT. What I can tell you is that I've already told them openly, we need some extra land. I'd be happy to donate. I'm all in favor of trying to increase the traffic flows on Lover's Lane because that means more potential customers would see my building. I understand that this is one of the main arteries in and out of the city. And the road property gets more than 60,000 cars a day. It's even busier. And it's never created a problem. And I think if this were designed for a lot of traffic, that'd be a bigger issue. I can't imagine a lower use in terms of vehicles coming in and out than any other business. This has been designed to be able to accommodate the semi. But I got to tell you, Moreland Grove, we get one a quarter. At a couple of my other facilities, we haven't seen one for years. Most moves are local, within 5 to 20 miles. Most people use my moving trucks. That's 99.9% of the people that would use the facility. They occasionally have somebody moving in from out of state. They're relocating from the East Coast, West, wherever it is. And they would hire a Beacons or an Allied Van or some other moving company. So they've got a big trucks. This facility can accommodate it. And still, with the fire and police department signing off, saying it wouldn't create an issue in an emergency situation, so we can accommodate it, the amount of semis that go through is going to be very minimal. A couple a year would be my best guess. So I think we've gone to the nth degree in terms of trying to research it. Not fully satisfying. The engineering department, I can understand, they haven't seen all the evidence. They've seen the summary, but we'll do that. We even talk to them how they'd like to see the calculations, because there are two or three ways to compare them, so we're going to do it according to their wishes. But my guys just haven't had time to do it.
I just got to jump in here. I mean, with the DOT and their ideas on what they want to do with Highway 100, I think they've moved the project back to 2029 now.
Yep.
Now it's 2000. They brought it back again to 2019.
Well, 2019, but it was like 2015. Their first plan had roundabouts all the way for every section. Alderman Skronsky and I went crazy with them on the eliminating those roundabouts. Somebody likes roundabouts. I won't mention his name, but it's Jack. Where I'm going with this, and it's like Highway 1 or 27th Street, they change every 5 minutes. So, you know, I wouldn't try and figure out what the DOT is going to do. It changes by the moment.
We would look to accommodate it. If we can, let's build a project. I don't think it's going to be an issue what they're proposing, not even on the property. If need be, people could come out and still exit here. So there's a way in and out of the main artery without impacting the DOT. So I think from my perspective, if possible, honoring subject to engineering approval or final engineering approval for the stormwater management, but not include the DOT, but we'll sit down with engineering and with the DOT. We're that kind of people. It's just, I don't want to be beholden to somebody who doesn't have the final decision making capacity in a timely fashion. And they'll tell you, and I've had this conversation with them, that they can say, they might be able to say there's no objections, but they can't say that it's going to meet their future needs because they don't know what their future needs.
Right.
So I just want to be fair and not make it an undue restraint upon myself or anybody else in community development.
I'd like to reemphasize that we have, at least I as the architect, heard for the first time that the neighbors had a big water problem. We really thank you for bringing that to our attention. Aside from just normal civil engineering, we want to make sure that we're not increasing a problem and hopefully relieving more of a problem. I don't think that this site or this development proposed will make it, it'll make it better than what it is now, but I want to make sure that that land that's densely wooded, and I've walked through it. I walked through as much as I could. I'm a little wide, but some of those trees are so close. I just want to reemphasize that we have heard that to Franklin as well as to the neighbors, that we're going to look at that more closely, and I'll be personally talking to the civil engineers as well as Alex. And I just wanted to also point out, I don't think it was mentioned, and maybe I missed it, but this is an existing cross-access agreement that's here, and that we've made this opening wider to make it easier for fire trucks or vehicles to get in and out onto the highway. Now, if the state wants to do something a little different, well, I know Storage Master's cooperative, and I have to believe that the motel people are as well. So
it might be possible that we might be able to get a communication to the state representative for that area that he maybe could help out if he's in the general area ever. So
after working with
he's a new state rep.
Oh, okay. After working with Storage Master for quite a few years, we know that Storage Master doesn't want a problem with the neighbors or with Franklin or with prospective tenants. So we're going to make something work here. We have to balance off the desire to keep all the trees as well as make sure that the drainage doesn't become a problem. So we'll probably be contacting somebody or the owners association or something to make sure we're fully understanding what the objective, what the problems were.
Mr. Ritter, you have the floor.
Just to get a quick recap on a couple of points here, so I think you just make sure I understand it, and so we've got it on the record, engineering staff, planning staff can follow up on it. In these areas that are depicted as trees, those will be far enough off the paved area so that there is adequate room for storage,
yes.
And this will be graded in such a way that when the snow melts, the drainage will be away from, or essentially to the east and not to the west. So, okay. Good.
Okay. I know we had a motion out there.
No,
because we were still the motion that we had was a motion to recommend approval of a resolution imposing conditions and restrictions for the approval of a special use for a self-storage facility use upon property located at 6951 South Lovers Lane Road, with the addition of the comments and suggestions made by the city engineer.
That and we won't motion. Unduly lock you or hold you up. I'll assure you of that.
Would that include the Department of Transportation?
I think I can work with the department.
To talk to.
I will meet with you. With
the guy with the black coat over here. You always going to wear the black coat, or now it's your.
As long as he keeps the tie.
He's got to get the white coat.
Keep the tie, yeah.
I got to get the white coat now.
I've got something you can have.
All right. We have a motion on the floor. It's been made. Any further discussion? Seeing none. Oh, Mr. Healy.
I guess just a comment. As the mayor pointed out, we are a recommending body. We don't pass. We don't approve this. The council takes the final action. It's their decision. Staff has reviewed this. They've made some comments. I would strongly recommend that the city pay close attention to those comments. I would actually suggest that their recommendations be incorporated into the approval because they're sound. The issues that engineering has brought up are sound. This project, albeit a good one, has many challenges. And it can be a great thing. It could probably be better. And the only ones that can make it better if it's approved is the council. My recommendations, my thoughts, I've shared them with you. My fear is that council, other members, haven't really had a chance to absorb the plans and understand. You've done a great presentation. But I've got two buildings, B and C, that are, in fact, steel buildings, correct? You don't need to answer that. Staff report indicates they are. The nice architectural embellishments we're seeing are only happening on the front of the building. There's retaining walls in the site. The site's very challenged with moving stormwater. So I don't want to get into those details. As I looked through it, I saw many things. Staff has done great reviews. I would strongly recommend, if this is approved, that the city pay some attention to that. Incorporate those comments and make sure that they're resolved, because this is a project that could be a win in the long run, but only if it's truly done right, as your vision shows. So with that said, I mean, that's my recommendation. Again, I still can't support it because of what I've seen and my concerns about this project and what it does for the site, but it's beyond me.
All right. Any further discussion, Mr. Ritter?
Yeah, just one more thing to clarify. Just so that I understand, you earlier at the start of your presentation, as I recall, you made a comment about keeping it 50 to 70 degrees year-round, but I don't see a lot of air conditioning equipment on the site. So are you talking 50 degrees minimum in the winter and then higher temperature in the summer, or just to kind of clarify that a little bit?
Architectural firm in the past, an architectural associate, so they get a separate fee.
they're also then have to report to the state that things have been built as shown. And they also have to sign off on engineering, stormwater management, and everything else. So it's more than just Franklin. It's you get the state oversight. Believe me, I don't want to disappoint you, the banks that I use, anyone else, and say, well, this looks nice, but now we're changing everything. It's not how we do business. It's very much a reflection, I think, of the company's values and my own values. I'm a pretty devout Christian. Storage Master stands for storage for the master, meaning God. So in terms of, you know, if we tell you we're going to do something, we'll follow through. That happens in everything we do. We will bend over backwards. We make a mistake, we'll own up to it. Handful extensions. It's just how we approach life. So I understand there's some questions, concerns. I think those are all manageable. Before I even put this forward, the reason I spent as much money as I have designed on this is I wanted to make sure that it's not just a nice concept, but actually is a feasible development. And a lot of that time, and we met with the Common Council end of September, I'm in front of you now in January, and we've been working diligently for the last 4 months. But it takes time to do a survey, to get the calculations. We continue to readjust. We removed some parking spaces from the Common Council presentation. I think we shortened the building about 25 feet. We made it 10 feet wider to address stormwater management, because as we got into it, we understood the topography. So I think a lot of thought in by professionals and detailed thoughts going into making sure that this is a viable project. Now, I understand some people may or may not want self-storage in this location. I can appreciate and respect the view, but I can also tell you that if we're allowed to build it, it will function. And the last thing I want to do is spend several million dollars on a development where you have a bad reputation, people don't come, and they feel all their stuff's going to get wet the first time it rains. So it's in my best interest, too. But we've got 100% track record in terms of following through.
Okay. I said earlier that I'm going to try and get people out back to their homes before it gets 7 to 8 below zero out. But Speller, you had
just very quickly, this is a challenging site, and stormwater and flooding is one of my expertise. Just very quickly, there are some things you could do with this building. And again, there'll be recommendations, but I would like you to consider them because this is a difficult site for drainage, and there have been issues with drainage over here for many years. One, there's roof storage that you could consider. It's very safe. It's not going to damage anything underneath, but you could eliminate a lot of your drainage issues by putting roof storage on the size of that building. You could store quite a bit, 1 foot, 12 inches, 16 inches of water up there would do a long way. You drain it off slowly. It would go a long way to alleviate some of your problems on your parking lot. And then some strategically placed, particularly in those low areas with porous pavement, just certain areas. You don't have to do the whole thing. But I think in some of those parking stalls and some of those low areas, if you put porous pavement and with some storage underneath that, that would also alleviate those problems. And I would advise you to consider that.
Last piece, and that's for the benefit of the Plan Commission. And that's that you don't get to go to all of the meetings and be involved in all the discussions that I am with all of the city departments and with all of the prospective clients and all that. But I would just point out to the Plan Commission that this year's budget, while I recommended a 0% tax levy increase, the Common Council adjusted that budget, and I agreed with them, but they adjusted it to bring in an economic development director so that they could achieve their goals. The other thing I'd like to point out is that there has been significant improvements to the Crystal Ridge site. Not be surprised at all that there will be future improvements made there. You have a large site that is over at Shops at Wyndham Village that was reserved for a major restaurant. It's still open. It's right next to the malt shop. You have a Century store that is vacant that could be turned into a major restaurant. You have Five Star Coffee that could turn into a restaurant. You have a hotel that's going up. More than likely, there's going to be a restaurant next to that. How many restaurants can this community support? And I'll leave it at that. All right, we have a motion on the floor. It's been seconded. Yes.
No one made the first or second gen.
Oh, I thought.
Not for the first one.
Okay. Well, I'll look to Alderman Schmidt to see if he would.
I'll make the motion.
All right. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Mr. Fuchs, please take a roll call.
Commissioner Knipple?
Aye.
Commissioner Ritter?
Aye.
Commissioner Haley?
No.
Commissioner Bennett?
No.
Alderman Schmidt?
Aye.
Commissioner Fowler?
No.
The mayor votes aye. Four ayes, three noes, ayes have it, motion carries. So much for my impassioned speeches. I do have the, by the way, I really do believe that this is the best plan commission that the councils, that the city's ever had. These are just outstanding individuals that are up here, except for Alderman Skronsky should be up here with me. So. All right, next item.
You know, Mayor, that was very difficult to vote because I'm a very strong proponent of the 70-30.
Me too.
So, like I said, the Common Council adjusted my budget for one purpose, and one purpose only, and that's to get a economic development director. And I don't think you have to be a soothsayer to understand what the direction of the council is. Okay, complete streets.
The Complete Streets Committee has provided the Plan Commission with a guide to Complete Streets and are requesting a recommendation to the Common Council from the Plan Commission.
Okay, hold on one second. Are you folks here for, what issue are you here for?
The residents of Dory Court.
Residents of Dory Court. Review. You're probably supposed to be down the hall to the Architectural Review Board.
And they've probably gone by now.
I was wondering,
Yeah, we were down there. Nobody was down there.
Okay. You may still want it.
This was really fun, though. Thanks.
Yeah. Are you sure you went the right way? Because they're all the way down this way.
They're this way.
This way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Through the cafeteria.
Okay, I'm sorry.
So the Complete Streets Committee created the, what they're calling the Guide to Complete Streets. It's really to promote the concept and connectivity in general and to make developers aware of and consider opportunities to provide complete street type elements and connections to other businesses, subdivisions. So as I said, the committee was looking for input from the Board of Public Works, which it did go before them. They did not have any comments. It'll be on the January 13th Parks Commission and anticipate the January 21st Common Council.
Well, I just have a couple things I'd like to follow up with that we talked about at our committee. One of the things was there was a study on the impact fees about how much were the impact fees.
Excuse me one second. Did somebody left a briefcase here?
Yeah. He'll be
oh, okay. Sorry.
But the Complete Streets was, or the Connectivity Committee was looking to see if we could find out what happened with that study that was going to talk, there was, I think, John Micklick had a legal review about what the funds from the impact fee could be spent, how much money was in those, and what different programs, and how was those fees split up in that sum of money to different program elements that the city would have. And I also wanted to point out, we've been looking at the map that the city engineering put together, the proposed connectivity network map. You don't have it with you, and I maybe you do, but I would just like to point out that we have a ways to go, but we're making significant progress. I think with the completion of the 51st Street sidewalks, with the on-road trails on Putes and Drexel, if you start to figure what we've got left to connect on 51st down to Ryan, that will really, the most developed and residential portions of the city now have pretty good sidewalks and trails. If we get 76th Street with a trail or a sidewalk along 76 down, even if it goes to Pews or if it just goes to Drexel, but I would like to see it go down to as far as Ryan, you would then kind of box in that entire residential area and give you a great foundation for the rest of the connectivity to with the rest of the community. So I want to applaud staff and on the city leaders that we have been making pretty good progress with.
Has anybody talked to the Hunger Task Force about the path?
We have not had the meeting yet, but I have been keeping him apprised that it's on my list of things.
The Croatians.
But I would like to point out, Mayor, that we are, with this map, that's one of the areas. There are areas that we are going to be sitting down. We're going to plan to have a meeting of our committee to start to focus on some of those areas where we have trails, where trails are being planned, to kind of focus on that. We've asked the staff to give us a little bit bigger blow-up maps of this map and then start to talk about some of those
areas. I mean, I would really jump on the opportunity there and not wait, because that...
Well, we have an opportunity, I think, on College. You know, Alderman Wilhelm has pulled out or mentioned several times that there's a connectivity issue on College. It is still not a safe location for people to walk east-west on College. Now, that would benefit both Greenfield and Franklin. Maybe we could work out an arrangement with the city of Greenfield. But there's also, I think, with the new floodplain maps, the sewer pack that's going to be putting together by 2015, the sewers district may be involved with flooded properties and trying to come up with some flooding solutions to this developer that may also provide avenues or property that might behoove themselves to a trail or something.
Yeah, I'm just saying, with the Hunger Task Force, you know, things change, and you don't wait forever on this stuff. That those trails over there are gorgeous. Mm-hmm. I mean, and if we can cook up the Oakleaf Bike Trail and the Little League and the Croatian Fields with that, what they've got going there, let's not sit on that. That's
correct.
On Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, you should have all received a letter that we're having a meeting at Countrydale School to put a sidewalk on the full length of North Cape Road from basically Menards all the way down to Muskego.
Yep.
And there's an elementary school, and there's a park site, and there's a trailhead and a trail crossing area that would all be served by that. Suggest you might come, because I do expect that the neighbors are probably not going to be overexcited, except we have recommended going to an urban section, which actually does less damage in taking trees and all to the area than a regular county trunk widening would be, and we're showing both alternatives. So I guess we kind of hope that people are going to say, hey, go ahead with the sidewalk. I'm not sure we have a choice of whether we put sidewalk in or not because of Trans 75, which is really the state's complete streets, which mimics the federal government, which there really is a push for pedestrian and bicycle. There will be bicycle lanes on North Cape. There's no way we can escape, the county can escape that. And, of course, if they build it, the council said they're willing to accept jurisdiction, and that's one of the reasons that they're willing to build this in Franklin right now, because they kind of like to start a policy of getting rid of the county trunk highways that are no longer county trunk highways.
Has the superintendent of Franklin Public Schools weighed in on whether they want sidewalks or not for their children?
We were invited to that meeting, Mr. Katz.
The superintendent's been told on numerous occasions that the residents of Franklin would like sidewalks for the children of the school district. I don't know if he's heard that.
I don't know if he's weighed in.
I'd like the staff to pen a letter for me to send to the superintendent of Franklin Public Schools requesting formally his opinion.
I just want to follow one thing I did leave off. It's my understanding, talking with Ron Romeis and staff that attended our committee meeting, that Rupert Milk is still under contract with the city. They're the ones that did the study on the impact fees. And the thought was, if we had, I don't know if we would have a joint meeting of the connectivity committee and planning, but at least have them in attendance at the beginning of a planning meeting, that we would notice. I think you have to notice that they would be here in attendance. And then maybe have Rupert Milk give a presentation about the impact fees, what they could be used for, how much is there. Some of that, so we could get that.
I mean, the urban section is going to have a bike lane, right, attached to it?
Both will have a bike lane.
But the children are still going to be near the track.
They walk. Would have
you can't walk on a bike lane.
So there will be
a sidewalk on the urban section. They've designed rural section without a sidewalk to show that that's more destructive than a urban section with a sidewalk.
Right.
Now we didn't put a sidewalk on the rural section because that just destroys the whole area. I'm kind of hoping that people will say, I like the urban section with sidewalk. And on the west side, there's almost no encroachment whatsoever with the urban section.
I wish 500 or 600 kids would come down and voice their opinion on this, because that's a dangerous road, and you know,
the kids
need some protection going from the park to the Country Dale and getting to their homes.
Absolutely.
So this is a major turning point. If we lose the sidewalk on this one.
I guess just to follow up on that, one, I did recommend strongly to all of the members of the committee that they attend that meeting, one, for the experience, and two, to see what's going on, and it should be very enlightening, and let's see well responded. So hopefully they'll show up. The issue, and I don't know if you guys have had a chance to look at this, but we put a lot of effort into it. I've got to thank Nick. He did the lion's share of editing and multiple changes on this. But it was the desire of the Complete Streets Committee that the Plan Commission, if it had any comments, made them, but actually made a recommendation to the council to adopt this as the city's guide to complete. The intention being that ultimately this would be distributed here to various planners, developers, the public, as an educational tool, and potentially posted on the website, and then that this map, which supports it, showing basically what's existing, the attractions, would also be posted, would be a work in progress. We're continuing to tweak it. Ron took the first whack at it. And I think we talked about the public having an opportunity to view this on the website, look at it, leave comments. I like this, don't like this, how about connecting this? That might be a great tool to get some public input and build some, I guess, credibility or some energy behind some of these improvements.
Do you have your own Facebook page for this?
No, we had anticipated doing that and setting it up, but
that's a work in progress.
We're talking about that.
We've still got the materials that we're going to be putting on that.
So I don't know about the comfort level of the members, but if you've had a chance to review this, I would be more than happy to make a motion recommending that this be forwarded to the Common Council for their consideration and adoption. Integrating any further comments that might come from the Parks Commission. I guess the only has it reviewed.
You also add to refer to the Community Development Authority for Franklin Committee for their recommendation.
I think that's an excellent idea, and then for the council to take those comments that they get back and integrate them, because this is a great thing. It does something good for the city. We put a lot of effort into it, and I'd hate to see it just die.
Second.
So I don't know if the comfort level is there. People have had enough chance. If that's the thing, then I would make that motion.
I'll second.
I've got to figure out how am I going to vote.
Now, let me give a little speech about connectivity.
All right. The motion on the floor is the second. Mr. Ritter?
Well, I support the concept. No, I don't know. Claim to have enough expertise in this to know whether it says the right things or not. Frankly, my concern at this point still is, you know, I can see an awful lot of energy trying to be expended into trying to retrofit connectivity into areas that are already developed. Lots of luck on that. I could just be a little bit cautious and say I think we've got some enthusiastic people trying to do this and are going to run into people who've already lived there and don't want the sidewalks, but that doesn't mean I don't wish you well. What I'm more concerned about is the lack of a plan in the undeveloped part of the city. Because we were talking about here, the section that appeals to me is asked that every road project and development process include consideration of land use and transportation context in the project, identify gaps. We're at some point, and granted the economy is still sluggish, but at some point we're going to get applications for development. We need to try to get ahead of this.
We do have good models.
Well,
it's in the code.
Well, okay. Then is that reflected in here then?
I think, Randy, you're correct, and I think our committee shares those concerns about the new development. But we don't want to be, as the mayor so passionately said before the vote on the storage facility, we don't want to put impediments to business. What we do want to do is make sure that they're going to put things in and amenities in that, with suggestions that are and recommendations that are in that pamphlet, that when they do get new development on that we're sending them in a direction that we want trails, we want sidewalks, or some connection of that. When you do your development, think about how you're going to connect with your surrounding property owners, with your neighbors, and with the streets and the sidewalks that we're going to be putting in with our street and road projects. I agree. There are going to be whole residential areas that are not going to have sidewalks, and they don't want them. But I want those people, when they walk out of their subdivision or their business area, and they get onto a major trunk, that they have places to go that aren't just recreational trails, but they can take them to a recreational trail if they want it, or take them to a restaurant, or take them to a bank, or take them to a shopping center that they can access without a car, with a bike or something else. And I think we're really doing well in the developed area. You're correct. And we are retrofitting the major trunks. I agree. It's going to be more difficult to re-engineer the subdivision. This is probably not going to happen. But once they leave that subdivision, I want them to be able to access those places safely. Inside the subdivision, you can do it relatively safely. But on those major trunks, you cannot.
And our development ordinance requires a new development. Now, we normally don't have arterial streets, but if we did have arterial streets, both sides of arterial streets, one side of collector streets, and all lead streets, all local lead streets to schools and parks. So we should, both planning and engineering, in plat review, we should be seeing that's part of the plat. And generally, a collector street collects the local traffic and brings it to an area. So, and then sometimes schools are located on local streets, so then we include those. If they lead to a school or a park, a local street, they're to have sidewalks on one side.
And if you read the document, Randy, there are recommendations in there about what have you considered. It's like a checklist. Have you considered these things?
Yeah.
No, not to impede the development, but to actually make them think about that.
And that's fine, and I appreciate that. My concern is that we've got relatively large areas to deal with here, but each individual developer is only going to bring in a fairly small piece of it, and they're going to be focused on and concerned about just getting a plan approved for their particular piece. Now, I think if we go about it the right way, yeah, we can probably be persuasive in getting them to incorporate, you know, what they do in their area into a plan for the overall larger area. But where are we going to get this plan for the overall larger area? Because they're only going to be focused on their small piece of it. And, yeah, we could probably get them to go along with it if we've got a plan for how we're going to connect all these different types of developments. That's my concern. But I don't see that on here. I see lots of lines running around here, future, all this kind of stuff. In the undeveloped areas of the city, I really don't see anything that I would see as a plan for, as this develops, this is what we want to accommodate, this is what we want to integrate into this area as it develops on a very piecemeal basis. So that's
I'm sorry, Jack. My understanding is that these future county and state trunk roads are going to have some type of non-motorized things, sidewalk or connectivity trail on them. And my hope is, through this guideline, if we get the council to agree as an educational tool, like they've done in places in Southeast Michigan, where they require the developer, and I think in our ordinance, the feeder streets in those developments must have a sidewalk on one side of those feeder streets. I think what we would like to then tell them is make sure that that connects up with these trunk roads. Or if your feeder road connects up with the developer next to you, make sure that that sidewalk continues through his development, just like we would demand that the street continues. I'm not asking them to put a sidewalk on every street, but make sure that when they connect up that development with this development, they connect.
And we really have that. I'll talk to Ron Romeis, because our comprehensive master plans, we use this, remember we had the continuity of these open spaces, and we actually connected those, so we have those green areas where you can put an off-road bikeway or pedestrian way, and we should show all the collector streets and arterial streets with sidewalks, maybe put those in dash lines because they're not there. So then when a person picks it up for the because that's been all laid out. That's been planned as part of our comprehensive master plan.
Okay.
And we've had hearings on and everything else. So
yeah. Maybe something like that.
We should show that on here. And
yeah,
I'll have
Fred,
Ron
just,
to do that.
Or Kevin, just jump in. It's a free for all. But I think it's good.
It's a great map. I understand maps. But I think if you pass this out to the public, they're going to say, well, where are all these trails? They're not going to look at the legend and say, well, that's the future. I might make a suggestion that one map show what's there and what they can see.
Oops. We've already got a map of what we already have, and there's much of what we already have on our map isn't there.
I rode my bike
on
maps like you're talking about, and they're dead ends, or there's no, you get there and there's no bike path.
GPS on the bike doesn't.
Right.
Let me try to create a little comfort level here. One, and we discussed this a lot at the committee. We're not recommending that Franklin adopt a new policy that says you have to do this. The intent is to start educating people. Oh, yeah. That Franklin, one, wants to see complete streets. We want to see this interconnectivity. This explains to people what that means, how you can achieve it, a way that you could look at your project. Now, the vision, the dream in a beautiful world is that this would be well received, and that at some point in the hopefully near future, the council would say, this makes sense. We'd like to adopt it as part of our policy and incorporate it with the UDO. But right now, what we're trying to do is raise awareness, let people know that Franklin supports complete streets. This is what we think they are. So my motion was really just to recommend that the council sort of adopt this as the official brochure of the city for now. We're not adopting policy. Look at it, read it, learn it. The map should function in the same way. We don't have to put it up right away. That's why this suggestion that we need to clarify it, integrate all this, but let's start getting some input from the public because we're not doing that. We don't know where they want it.
My suggestion to you is to get it into the council like the next meeting.
Well, that's why I'm making this recommendation now. Sure. Now, if we're not comfortable with the text of it, I can withdraw my motion and we can deal with it again. But I'd love to see any other comments that come out of different committees and have the council take action to just support.
Well, and I'm just going to throw this out because I can sort of be dangerous, though. came back to me, my old soul. I've heard some comments of late. Impact fees. We have enough parks. We have enough bike paths. And by more than a few people. So if I were, I think you should get this in as quickly as possible and get the current Common Council to adopt this and to make it in harmony with what we already have in place.
And unless there's objections, I'll let my motion stand.
Okay. All right, and it's been seconded by Mr. Fowler. Ready for discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, I say have motion carries. Or motion adjourned?
No, so
second.
Wait,
seconded.
We have to adjourn.
For discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, I say have motion carries.
I want to stand.
Let's move.
Freedom. Your project.